Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. Meetings are funny things. The BBC continually hold top-level meetings, and naturally I'm invited to every one of them. Well, somebody has to make the tea. Well, the outcome of the top-level meeting that is going on at the Ministry of Defence at the moment is going to be anything but dead easy for Mr. Phillips.
Oh, you leave off chattering amongst yourselves. I am the Sea Lord. It is supposed to be my meeting. No, dear, there's nothing else for it. Gentlemen, you're all redundant. Well, it's not strictly true, but we must get on with this meeting. Now then.
Excuse me, Your Lordship. I'm Sub-Lieutenant Phillips. Are you ready to see me yet?
No.
Oh, sorry, pardon.
Now then, as one who's come up from the ranks, I'd like to point out...
No, you wouldn't.
It's rude to point.
Oh, right, you are, Admiral. I realise that you probably all think that I'm just a silly old fool and have no right to be here at all. Well, you could be right, but I happen to think you're wrong. How dare you think of me as a silly old fool, eh? In future, I'll trouble you to keep your stupid opinions to yourself, and I'll have you know that I've just as much right to be here in this room as anybody else, probably more, so let that be an end to it.
Liver's gone, you know. Bottle a day, man.
Excuse me, Your Lordship. I'm Sub-Lieutenant Phillips. I believe you wanted to see me.
Not yet, I don't.
Oh, sorry, pardon.
Sorry about that blonde idiot's interruptions. He's merely the fool this meeting's about. As you know, the American Navy, through NATO, have suggested it would be advantageous if our two navies exchanged key navigational personnel. Well, after seeing the twit they've sent us, we're sending them Sub-Lieutenant Phillips as a sort of revenge. Well, I mean, if they stand for David Frost, they should stand for him.
I wonder... Black sheep, have you any? Oh, to hell with this, a damn good idea. I wish I could.
As one who's come up from the ranks, I really would like...
No, you wouldn't, Captain. You should have seen to that before the meeting started.
Exactly.
Well, Your Lordship, I'm sure the meeting would like to congratulate you on organizing this exchange with the Americans. I've no doubt that you've been sitting there thinking that it's a waste of time, explaining all this to a silly old fool like myself. You shouldn't be here at all. And, of course, you could be right. But I happen to think you're wrong. How dare you think of me as a... In future, I'll trouble you to keep your stupid opinions to yourself. And I'll have you know that I'm just as much right in here, in this room, as anybody else. Probably more. So let that be an end of it.
Must have been all that blasted rot gut he drank during the First World War.
Lord Quirk, gentlemen, as one who's come up from the ranks, I really
oh,
must...
Oh, very well, off you go, but don't be long.
Excuse me, Your Lordship, I'm Sub-Lieutenant Phillips. Can I come in now?
Of course! Help yourself! Sit anywhere you like. We're all leaving.
Thank you.
Spare uniform, 5½ pairs of socks, 3 reasonably clean shirts, 1 yo-yo, 1 spare string, 11 hankies, 11? Now, that's odd. Ah, there's one on the chest of drawers. Come in.
Pardon my interrupt, of course, Mr. Phillips, but I just thought I'd like to wish you bon voyage with the American.
Gosh, I'm jolly excited about joining the American warship, General Lincoln III, at Chatham. I hope we sail to Hollywood. The Padre's given me a letter of introduction to Gloria Swanson.
Yes, well, he would, but I shouldn't really bother, sir.
I can't wait to meet her. There was a film of hers on the telly last week.
Is it?
She's an absolute cracker. I mustn't miss Disneyland while I'm there. Hey, do you think if I show them my Donald Duck watch, they'll let me in free?
Without a doubt, sir.
I might even be introduced to Snow White and the 8 Dwarfs.
8? Well, from your navigationals, we all know that you're not so what about enough, but there are only 7 dwarves.
Oh, well, I shan't argue, because I only saw half the film. I had to come out because I was frightened by the witch. Odd, that.
What?
Well, the witch had the same beaky nose and craggy face that you've got.
Thank you very much, Mr. Phillips. And as far as the General Lincoln III is concerned, once you're aboard, good luck to all who sink in her.
Enter unto me, whosoever is without.
It's me, Padre, the captain. Permission to enter the wardrobe?
Oh, come unto me, my son, and be so kind as to put a bit of wood in the hole behind you.
Glad you're alone, Padre, because you're a man of the cloth that a man who isn't of the cloth can talk to.
How kind. Talk on.
Padre, I don't intend to beat about the bush. As far as Mr. Phillips is concerned, I've been a complete and utter cur and an unmitigated swine.
Commander Murray, tish and tosh. Do I detect a slight tendency towards self-reproach? Do you have some inner knowledge of our blonde and probably bleached brother, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips' visit to Uncle Sam that we lesser mortals wot not of? What not all?
Well, I don't exactly what or what not, Padre. It's just a sixth sense, and it all adds up to danger.
Oh, tish and tosh squared. Whatever is all this about?
Well, in my book, I'm certain that if this exchange of navigation officers was really genuine, why would the Royal Navy have sent the Americans the biggest twit in navigation that Dartmouth College has ever known?
I see. The mind boggles, and one is tempted to ask the question, why him?
You may well ask, why him?
Oh, very well, then. Why him?
A good question. I'll tell you why him. Because of them.
Them?
To them, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is expendable. In the interests of their war game, that helpless and defenseless comrade at arms, who was once our shipmate, may well be used as a decoy duck to fall into the hands of the enemy and be tortured beyond human endurance.
Oh, tish and tosh cubed. To think that Sub-Lieutenant Phillips at this very minute could very well be in the muck. In the muck.
Exactly. In the hands of unscrupulous espionage agents like the Master and his terrifying organization of foreign spies, Sub-Lieutenant Phillips is just an unwitting tool.
You're right, Commander Murray. It is your bounden duty to warn him of the perils that are about before it is too late.
Good thinking, Padre. I'll catch him before he leaves.
Excuse me, Mr. Murray, sir. I thought you'd like to know that Sub-Lieutenant Phillips has just left.
Oh!
One of you clever boys is making this dreadful den.
Him.
Him.
Him. Number 4.
Well, give him my kindest regards and have him shot. Good thinking. Well, now, you clever boys, as you know as the Master, I am feared by the entire civilized world as the fiendish and brilliant mind who controls the most terrifyingly efficient espionage organization mankind has ever known.
Oh, yes, Master.
And me too, Master.
And me too, Master.
Never mind your tutu, number three. Now, I'm glad that I have your confidence, you clever boys, because after my latest little debacle in Vienna, I have absolutely none in you.
But what went wrong, Master?
You name it, and it did. I obtained the drugs for Dr. Zola, and all was well. I smuggled them through to Switzerland via a postman disguised as a nun. And all was well. The secret radio informed me, by a secret code, that Dr. Zola had received the drugs, so I could make my escape, and all was well.
Yes.
It was at this point that I put into action your brilliantly conceived escape plan via a disused sewer. And all was not well. May have worked for Harry Lyon, but it did not work for me.
Oh, gym shoes.
Oh, plimsolls.
Oh, Vickers.
Exactly, you clever boys. Exactly. That disused sewer was not disused. My escape had either coincided with a party political broadcast. Or it coincided with a commercial break. In fact, it soon became apparent to me that it was evidently rush hour. When, you clever boys, I finally emerged through a manhole in East Berlin, smelling like the biggest bunch of sweet violets you ever saw. Even my best friends couldn't tell me. And do you know why? They were unable to get near enough to say a word. Thanks to you, clever boys, I ponged to high heaven for a fortnight.
But, Master, according to our informant, your escape route hadn't been used for years.
Take it from me, you clever boys. Take it from me that your informant was wrong and is now, to his utter surprise, dead. And now to our current. Now to our current project. I have already arranged through my high-level contacts in the United Nations to exchange the top two navigation officers in the British and American navies. When I have the British officer in my power, I shall sell him to the Forbodian government for 25 million yakmaks to be paid in onesies. This should be a record transfer fee. Agent number five, the sultry and exotic Catania, will meet the fool at Chatham Station and entice him into a taxi driven by clever boy number one. And that is the last the British Navy will see of the English navigation expert alive.
Excuse me, Mr. Ticket Collector, gentlemen. Where do I find the taxi rank?
Outside the station, Gub. Taxis don't run too well on railway lines.
I noticed that. Still, it's only fair because railway trains don't run too well in the street.
Well, if you're in the Navy, thank goodness we got an army.
So, Agent Number One, remember your instructions. This looks like the stupid English fool approaching now. You are sure you know what to do?
Yes, exotic and sultry Tanya. Agent Number Five.
Imbecile. From now on, I'm not exotic and sultry Tanya, Agent Number Five. Oh? I am instead typical American touring boop-a-doop popsy lady called Raquel Bogart.
A taxi! I say... Taxi?
Come over here, big boy. Say, baby, would you like to share mine?
rather, but it'll have to be some other time, because just at the moment I'm looking for a taxi.
That's what I meant, honey babe. I'm going all the way.
So am I. In fact, I hope to see Disneyland and Mr. Duck.
Number one, it'll have to be direct action. He is talking in code. Get in, big boy. My, but you're so handsome and such muscles. Oh, come on, get in.
Yes. Well, gosh, thanks. What a strange coincidence. I'm going to Hollywood and I meet a charming American lady in Chatham.
Get in, sweetheart, and we can get off together.
I think I'm going to enjoy this trip.
Number one, you forbody on twit. Wait for me.
Dockyard already. Gosh, Miss American Lady, you must have run fast to keep up with us.
We are still at the... I mean, we are still at the station, big boy, so move over so I can get in this time.
Enter, you clever cabin door knocker.
Loyal greetings, master.
I never doubted it, if you want to live. Now then, tell me what news of the prisoner. And why were you late coming aboard my hydrofoil Mark III? What was the delay?
Agent number one was not a clever boy.
No?
He forgot to put any petrol in the taxi. We had to walk all the way from Chatham High Street.
I see. Obviously, my terrifyingly efficient organization is working well up to standard. Where is the prisoner?
He is outside waiting to see you, master. But I should warn you, he seems to talk in code.
This way, sub-lieutenant, big boy, Phillips.
At last. I want to have a word with you, Captain. Just how much longer am I going to be aboard this hydrofoil before we get to the war? Wait a minute. You're not the captain. You're the master.
Got it in one, you clever.
Lummy. I've been hijacked.
The word is jack, not jerk. But in your case, you could be right. Now, let me explain to you why you're here.
Oh, there's no need. Let me tell you.
Oh.
You have arranged through your high-level contacts in the United Nations to exchange the two top navigation officers in the British and American navies. And when you have the British officer, that's me, in your power, you will sell him. That's me. To the Fabodian government for 25 million yakmaks. To be paid in onces. Agent number five, the sultry and exotic Tanya, will meet the fool, that's me, at Chatham Station. Entice him, that's me, into the taxi. Which she did. To bring him, that's me, to the master's personal hydrofoil, Mark III, which is where I am.
Fascinating. Oh, you really are a clever boy. How on earth did you know all that?
It was easy. I read it in my comic.
Really?
Mind you, the story the week before was much funnier.
Oh.
You see, there was this chap who was escaping down the disused sewer. In fact, it was anything but disuse. You see, his escape had either coincided with the party political broadcast or the commercial break. So that when he finally emerged from a manhole in East Berlin, He smelt like the biggest bunch of sweet violets ever and ponged to high heaven for a fortnight. Honestly, you'd have laughed. It was terribly funny.
It certainly was not terrible. It was not funny, and I was not in the least amused.
Master, your personal hydrofoil Mark III is coming alongside the superb and brand new Forbordian warship, the Boris Badenov. Right now, at this very moment, and also immediately.
Oh, that's splendid. Oh, we have all been clever boys. Now, Mr. Phillips, this is where we part company. You are about to board the Boris Badenov and teach the Forbordian Navy every navigation secret you know. If you want to live.
Well, I was supposed to join the American Navy, but I suppose yours will do. Just as long as she's sailing to Hollywood. One navy's as good as another. I mean, the important thing is, I mustn't keep Mr. Duck waiting.
Steady up there, Chief.
Steady up, sir. Still no news as to what's happened to our vanished and blonde bombs, comrade and officer?
No, Chief. All I know is that when Mr. Phillips didn't arrive on the General Lincoln III, the Americans refused to send us their navigating officer. Bridge?
Starboard lookout here, sir. Leading seaman Goldstein, Captain. Sorry to interrupt your little tete-a-tete, but in case you hadn't noticed, and I doubt if you have, there's a clapped-out and battered Forbordian warship called the Boris Badenov, zigzagging all over the sea the way we usually do. And it's coming up behind us, sir.
What?
Worrying, isn't it? Let's hope it doesn't zag when it's supposed to zig, or it's going to hit us.
What?
Gangway, you chaps, I'm coming through.
Well, he nearly did. Shan't be long. I'm just going to get my tin hat in case he tries again.
Good morning,
ladies.
Good morning, ladies. Didn't that voice from the Boris Badenov seem just the tiniest touch familiar, sir?
Yes, it did. Trust him not only to be in the wrong ship, but in the wrong navy.
Hello, you chaps. Fancy bumping into you. I've been kidnapped by a foreign power.
What? Stand by to be brought across in the bosun's chair, Mr. Phillips. And tell the captain of your ship that if he doesn't comply, we shall open fire and sink him.
On the contrary, if you don't take this utter nutter back, we will open fire and sink you.
Bosun's chair in position, sir. Mr. Phillips, ready to be hauled across.
Right, Chief. Stand by to be transferred, Mr. Phillips.
Aye, aye, sir. Cheerio, Mr. Forbordian Naval Captain Gentleman. If ever I get to Hollywood, I'll give your regards to Mr. Duck.
Haul him across, Chief.
Oh, it's nice to see you again, chaps. And a jolly exciting time. Though I didn't get to Hollywood, I'll get Mr. Duck's autograph.
Stop the witch.
So I shall have to write to him as soon as I say, you chaps, what's gone wrong with you chaps? I'm not moving. I seem to have stopped. Yeah, come on, pull me in.
Hey, what's all this about? You can't leave him hanging out there like a bundle of old washing.
I don't intend to, Chief. We're going to send him back.
But we don't take the risk of having him aboard. I know it sounds ridiculous in his case, but he may have been brainwashed.
No, reverse the winches and send him back.
Aye, aye, sir. Winches reversed. And turn on, Mr. Phillips, sir.
Hey, Jack, what's going on? What's happened? I'm going backwards.
Oh, I'm Dragovich. What is the name of this game? We don't want him. Look at my ship. It was brand new before he came aboard. Now look at it. Leading for Dory and Seaman's don't say, stop our winch and the white ship back again.
Ah, that's more like it. See you in a minute, Commander Barrister. My word, this rope's getting taut.
Oh, nasty.
See, they're gaining on us. Increase the winch, Mother Reds. Oh, I said.
Oh, nasty sail!
Just that our winch and the one on the Boris Baird and I've got fed up with playing tug of war and seized up simultaneously.
Ahoy there, chaps! I don't want to bother you, but I seem to have parked again.
It's a bit of a nuisance, but we can't leave him out there. There's nothing for it. We'll have to tow him back between us. Signal the Boris Baird and I've full ahead both to Portsmouth.
Oh, that's it. Certainly, sir. Mr. Phillips, sir, in case the Boris Baird and I doesn't keep on station, stand by to do the breaststroke sitting down. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, left hand down a bit, one of you. I'm nearly in the... Ah! You rotters! That was deliberate!
Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, I will accept the fact that you were kidnapped by a highly efficient organization of international spies. I will accept the fact that you not only wrecked the Boris bad enough, but half their fleet when you tried to dock in Forbodia. I will even accept the fact that you are now a national hero, and that through your efforts at navigation, their harbor is now a solid mass of scrap metal, and that Forbodia is no longer a threat to world peace. What I will not accept, however, is that your soaking wet uniform is dripping all over my office carpet.
Sorry, pardon, Captain Covey, but I'm soaked. I did 8 miles in that bosun's chair to Portsmouth, 6 miles on top of the water, and 2 miles under it.
Oh, stop complaining. You're lucky that at the last possible minute, the Boris Badenoff and Troutbridge both decided to go round the same side of the Nab Lighthouse.
Captain Purvey speaking.
Dockyard police here, sir. We've got a rum in here, sir, in the guard room, who wants to speak to Sub-Lieutenant Phillips, sir.
Oh, very well. It's for you, Mr. Phillips.
Gosh, probably one of my fans. Yes. Hello? Sub-Lieutenant Phillips speaking.
Hello, you clever boy. Thanks to you, this is the master speaking from the guard room.
What are you doing there?
Thanks to clever you, I'm under arrest. The crew of my personal hydrofoil Mark III followed your navigational instructions back to Forbodia to the letter. Naturally, as a result, instead of Forbodia, we belted into Portsmouth at 60 miles an hour, straight into the side of the American ship General Lincoln III, and we sank instantly.
Gosh, I owe you an apology.
You certainly do, you clever boy. I was hauled ashore in a passing trawler's fishing net, along with 2 tons of wriggling and inquisitive fish. You seemed to assume that I was some sort of underwater grotto. Once again, thanks to you, I now pong to high heaven
and smell like the biggest bunch of sweet violets you ever saw.
Murray, John Pertwee and Leslie Phillips have been fostering international goodwill in the Navy Lark, written by Laurie Wyman and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the Sub-Lieutenant, Captain Purvey was played by Richard Caldicott, Tanya was Heather Chasen, Leading Seaman Goldstein was Daniel Evans, and the Padre was Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.